major differences when it comes to such a thing. So what's the pshat exactly? How do we understand, right, Yaakov Avinu, a 77-year-old, right, going up and kissing such a young girl who is only 5? And it's got to be that she was young, because Lavan would not have allowed her older. He didn't allow her older, his older daughter, Leah, to be outside with these shepherds over here, since she was already old enough to be married off. So it's got to be that Rachel was not old enough to be married off. She was going to be 5 years old. I'm sorry? There is an opinion, very good. There is an opinion that says that Rachel and Leah were twins. But according to this Rabbeinu Bechaya, she was 5 years old and Yaakov was 77. So in a way, I don't mind it as much anymore. I know it sounds strange, but a 77-year-old giving a kiss to a 5-year-old doesn't bother me as much as something else would. Again, not in a passionate way, but saying hello to a little girl and saying like that, that doesn't bother me as well. And even though some people might say, well, the 5-year-olds back then were a little bit different than the 5-year-olds right now. I don't know. I don't know if we can really include it in that way. But according to the Ramban and the Rabbeinu Bechaya, 77 and 5 is the answer. That's why he was allowed to kiss her, because it wasn't something of passion. It wasn't something of where he considered something, whatever. It was a 77-year-old to a 5-year-old. Another answer they give, the Ramban and the Rabbeinu Bechaya, which seems to be connected to the previous answer, could be you could combine them to be the same, is that Yaakov Avinu kissed her on the head or on the shoulder, not on the mouth. And their proof is from an Ibn Ezra earlier. The Ibn Ezra says in Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Chav Zayin, in your sheets, unfortunately I wrote it wrong, it's Chav Zayin, Chav Hei in the sheets, but it's Chav Zayin, says that anytime the letter Lamed appears in front of a word, it means something on top of. Meaning it does not refer to something direct, it's something on top of. So when it says, Vayishak Yaakov Lerachel, that Yaakov kissed Rachel, it does not mean literally Yishak Yaakov Rachel, which would be the proper way of saying it, but Yishak Yaakov Lerachel, to something that was on top of Rachel, or on Rachel. That was the idea that it refers to over here. Says the Ramban, the Rabbeinu Bechaya, therefore it made it different. Not only was it a 77-year-old to a 5-year-old, but the 77-year-old kissed the 5-year-old on her hand, on her shoulder, on top of her head. That makes it very, very different. So we're not thinking of that passionate kiss. It's a kiss that one would give to everybody else. And that would be, I guess, the reason why the Radak, the Chizkuni, the Ibn Ezra, the Sforno, all basically saying that don't seem to contradict this. The kiss happened. But we don't learn a halacha from this. Why is there no halacha learned from this? The answer is that a 77-year-old to a 5-year-old kissing on the shoulder or on top of the head would not be an issue.
When it says Lavan kissed Yaakov, how did it say Leah? Does it say Lamed there?
No. The grab a Vayinasheko so. It should be Vayinasheko so. If you can grab the pasuk. I'm sorry? You guys have to check. Yeah, both of them are there, but neither one of them are worded like this. But grab it if you can. The Ben Ish Chai in Ode Yosef Chai says such an awesome answer. Says the Rachel Imenu may have been older, not 5. May have been 20 years old at the time. And could have been Anita. So says the Ben Ish Chai, how in the world could he, at the first time of seeing Rachel Imenu, she's 20 years old, she's an older girl, how could he have gone up to her and kissed her without knowing if she was tummy or taller? How could that have been? I'm sorry?
The
what?
Doesn't he have a thing, he says you can kiss the hand?
There is a halacha. Rav Avad Yosef talks about that. But the Ben Ish Chai does not hold it for here. He says you can't do that if it's tummy or Torah, and you can't kiss her. She can kiss the Rav. And especially that's Shipuli Glima, I think, is what he matters at the end of the day. Yeah, Shipuli, the Raglayim. Right? But regarding this, what he says is there's no way Yaakov would have kissed her if he didn't know she was tummy or Torah. Rather, this Lamed in front of the word Lerachel, this Lamed that's over here, is trying to tell us something very different. He never kissed Rachel Imenu at all, he says. It would have said, Vayishak Yaakov is Rachel. Rather, this is what Yaakov saw. Rachel had come together with her sheep. If you look closely at the pasuk, there's a psik into the word Rachel. There's a line. Ba'ah. It doesn't make it into the Torah. In the Sefer Torah, there is no line. But if anybody knows trup, when you learn Pashta, Munach, Tzarka, right? All those, there is a psik, a little line that's known as a psik. The psik is, you just stop for a second. So that psak exists. Verachel, stop, Ba'ah Yimatzon. She came with the sheep. Why is that little stop over there? Says the Ben Ish Chai, because Rachel always wore a veil, he says, with little holes in it for her to see. She always wore that veil. Why? because she wanted to be mafsik herself from everyone else because it wasn't tsnua to walk around with the other shepherds. The other shepherds are all walking where they're all males. She's the only female shepherd because Lavan was either really cheap or didn't have any sons and nobody could take care of the sheep except for her. So therefore she made a hefsik. She put a little veil in between her and the other people around there in order for nobody to be around. Not only that, she also came in im hatzon together with the sheep. The sheep surrounded her on all sides so that nobody could come anywhere near her. The sheep surrounded her and were there, and she came im hatzon when Yaakov saw her tznius, the tremendous chus that she had to be tsanua, and that she was in the middle of the flock of sheep with covering her face. He went up to Rachel, there was like a splitting of the sea of all the sheep that were in front of him, went up to Rachel and kissed what was on Rachel Imenu. By Yishak Yaakov Rachel, he kissed the veil that was on Rachel Imenu. The shepherds couldn't see that far. The shepherds were looking, but she was in the middle of the sheep, and Yaakov Avinu had gone in the middle of the sheep. So they assumed that he had kissed her mamish, and he cried that they had suspected something terrible about him, which had never happened. He never kissed her. He kissed what was on her. So there's a little bit different. The Ramban and the Ravina Bechaya were saying that he kissed her on the shoulder, kissed her on top of the head. Says the Ben Ishkai, he couldn't have done it. What if she was tummy? He never would have done such a thing. Why would he have done such a thing? That's not what happened. That's not what happened. Instead, what he did was he kissed her on the veil itself. That was the difference. That's what we're talking about over here. That's the concepts of the Ben Ishkai.
Can't you simply say it's not their fila?
There, I hold on. I'm just giving you Rishonim.
Okay.
And then the Ben Ishkai. Okay. That's all I'm doing right now. Right. Yeah.
Says that it's mutter for one to kiss the rabbi's hand because it's not their fila, and even close to Ramah is one of the sources.
Well, we're going to get to that Ramah. Okay, but hold on. We got to get to that Ramah because the public is also an issue. That's the reason why they have it a problem.
But says, Vayinashik Lo.
Yeah, Vayinashik Lo.
But there's Lamed, is there?
That's not a problem. That's not to the name. That's still different. Check out the Ibn Ezra, Chav Zayin. The Or HaChaim suggests that he was crying while he kissed her. He was crying when he kissed her itself. Now Rashi says, and we all know this, why was he crying? Because he had nothing to give her is one answer. That's one of the obvious answers, right? Or because he had Ruach HaKodesh that was going to be buried with her, and thus he was kissing her not out of illicit thoughts, but rather simply because she was his relative, and because he was crying when he did it, everyone realized he's not doing this improperly. He's not kissing somebody in an improper fashion. Tiferes Yonas and Ziyak Tiferes Yonah says Yaakov Avinu did it on purpose to make sure that he wouldn't have improper thoughts when kissing her. He made himself cry. He thought about the fact that he didn't have what Eliezer had when he came to get a wife for Yitzchak Avinu. And that way, when he thought of death, he was knocking down his Yetzer Hara the way that we think, says the Tiferes Yonah. And by doing such a thing, he was able to get rid of those issues, and then he was able to kiss her without having a possibility of taiva within him. The Netziv and the Malbim say the exact same thing as well. This was a kiss, and the kiss was given over to her, but there was no thoughts of taiva immediately because he was crying when he did so. Again, I don't want a matter going into a bar and going up to a girl, start crying, and thus you can kiss whoever you want. That's not a heter. That is not a blanket heter over here. You came in at a good time, Dave. That is not a heter, okay? That's not the way to go in. But nonetheless, what Yaakov Avinu just did and what he tried to get through is that he knew that this woman was not going to be here. He knew something was going to be up with this. He started crying, and that's how we know that the kiss was an improper kiss and why we don't have a lima that comes from it. The Tiferes Yonah gives another answer that's amazing. It says, based on what happened when Rabbi Akiva first sees the wife of Turnus Rufus, everybody remembers this Gemara in Nidaran, he laughed, he spat, and he cried. A great Gemara. Aishas Turnus Rufus was a very beautiful woman. She saw her husband, Turnus Rufus, coming home day after day with this upset look in his face, and she said to him, what's going on? What's wrong? And he said, I can't get around this Rabbi Akiva guy. Rabbi Akiva keeps nailing me and everything, and I don't know what to do. To which she said, I'll take care of him for you. She looked and saw the way that he went home every day, and he had a lot of talmidim. This is when Rabbi Akiva was at least 110 years old when Turnus Rufus would have taken over. We're talking about the year 110 to 113 of the Common Era. Very interesting time period, right before the Bar Kokhba Rebellion, right around that time, could have been later, but right around that time, Rabbi Akiva used to walk with hundreds of Talmidim, hundreds if not thousands of Talmidim. So he went in a certain area, which was a close alleyway. She sealed off the alleyway with guards after Rabbi Akiva walked through it, and then the guards led Rabbi Akiva straight to where she was, to such an area where he could not pass without touching her. And when he saw her, he spat, laughed, and cried. That's what he did, to which she was shocked and said, what's going on here? And he said, I spat because your beauty, right, Your beauty means absolutely nothing to me. I laughed because I said, so many people have been caught by such beauty and I cried. Well, the laugh also, according to the Gemara, he didn't want to say why he laughed because he knew he was going to end up marrying her. And he cried. Why did I cry? Because such beauty is going to be buried in the ground and it'll never be seen again. Ashes Turner's Rufus was so impressed. She converted and she married Rabbi Akiva. And that is the way to get a wife. I don't know about spitting in front of her, but everything else, right? That's the way. It could be, says the Farsi, understand, that Yaakovinu kissing her, thought he kissed her thinking she must be the most amazing person in the world if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave her such beauty, and then cried as if to say, none of this is worth it to me at the end of the day because the beauty will rot in the ground. So again, can it be done by other people? No, it would be Yaakov Avinu alone who would be allowed to because he was able to think of it as rotting and the way that Tiferes Yonason learns it in that way. Now, Medrash Rabbah says, all kisses are considered tiflus throughout the entire Torah. Whenever we see something, they're considered tiflus and they mean nothing except for three types of kisses. There are three types of kisses that are considered choshev, and three are the following, and it goes like this. Number one, when a great person does it, or when someone just became very great. After Shaul HaMelech was made king by Shmuel HaNavi, Shmuel HaNavi kissed him. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, we actually learn that the kiss is what made Shaul HaMelech to being the king. It's an amazing pshat. David HaMelech never got this kiss, but Shaul HaMelech got the kiss. He was made king, according to Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, from that kiss. Number two, when you haven't seen someone for a very long time, like Aaron and Moshe Rabbeinu, or Aaron kisses Moshe Rabbeinu. Number three, when someone is leaving someone else, like Orpah and Noami. When she was leaving Noami and she knew she wasn't going to see her again, that's when she kissed her. In all those three cases, that's where a kiss means something chashuv. Comes along Rabbi Tanchuma of Medrash Tanchuma, and adds on a fourth one between a relative, and he learns it from right here, from Yaakov Avinu kissing Rachel, that a kiss given to a relative is a chashuv of a kiss, and it's not considered tiflus, something done just stam, it's something that's chashuv. This shows that might be considered good according to him. Now the Ksava Kabbalah takes this medrash, explains it beautifully. He typically, when someone kisses someone else, it comes from a physical desire which is burning within him to be close to that person. And because you can't be any closer, you sit there, that closeness is there from the soul pining to connect, so you're kissing. And apparently, according to this Ksav HaKabbalah, he's learning up that this kiss is a mouth-to-mouth kiss. Not on a cheek, not on a shoulder, not on a hand, not anything else, but a mouth-to-mouth kiss. It's something that you go when you haven't seen your friend in a long time, when someone has just become very great, when a person wants to leave, etc., there's more. I realize, because there's a physical thing. But if there's more, there's no physical longing. It's a different type of longing over here. According to Rabbi Tanchum, with relatives, it's the same way. That with relatives, there is no physical desire, and that's Rabbi Tanchum's idea. It's a feeling of closeness that can't be had. So if you have that feeling of closeness, no physical desire, but that feeling of closeness, then yeah, the Ksav HaKabbalah says, then it's mutter to do, and we learn it from over here with Yaakov and Rachel. The truth is, it's mamash machlokas in the Gemara. There's a Gemara in Shabbos, maybe you've learned this before, in Daf Yud Gimel. Ula used to kiss his sister when he saw her. And the Gemara says that he was wrong to do so, but he kissed her. And the Gemara argues, where did he kiss her? One opinion says that he kissed her on the chest, and the other one was that he kissed her on the hand. Now, if he kissed her on the chest, that's obvious why everybody else said wrong thing to do. That's improper. Now, Ula, who was on the level where such a thing did not affect him, was not worried about it. But other people can't do it. And the Gemara learns from there, you can't do that. But kissing on the hand would be okay. The other opinion of the Gemara says, no, even kissing on the hand is not okay. Right? Even kissing on the hand would not be good enough. And in that way, you could possibly say, and this is the way the Ksav HaKabbalah wants to say it, that those who say that you can't kiss her on the Ula kissed her on the chest and was not allowed to do so, means you cannot kiss in an illicit fashion. But kissing on the hand, kissing on the cheek would be mutter. But those who say that he couldn't even kiss her on the hand would say even kissing on the cheek or on the hand to a relative would be usur. And we learn it mamish from that Gemara in Ula. And there's machlokas.
Was there a thing to kiss on the chest? I mean, the hand I get is a sign of respect, the cheek is a face, but who goes around kissing people on the chest?
I have no idea. I had literally no idea. Ula, if we learned it up, Ula would have been from Bubble.
Thing that he's following.
I know. Ula probably would have been from Bubble. So was it a Babylonian, Macedonian thing? You'd have to look it up. I have no idea. But it's the only time that you see such a thing in Shas. Now, I'm not going to say Yerushalmis and whatever it is. I don't know. But in Gemaras, there is no other case where you see such a thing. It's only Ula. Hold on. Wait, yeah. Again, we're going to get to...
Does the Rambam say it's my subscription even to like just hug your sister?
Yes. Yeah. We're going to get to that Rambam as well. I'm not going to be able to say everything when it comes to the halachas regarding it. But yes, we're going to get to all those things. According to the opinion that it was forbidden for him to touch her at all, and utilizing Rabbi Tanchuma's opinion that this kiss was not based on physical attraction, you could say that the word vayishak, that he kissed her over here when Yaakov kissed Rachel, did not denote that he actually kissed her, but rather he got close to her. And the way the Ksav HaKabbalah says, it is so not the way. I mean, listen, I haven't done that many Ksav HaKabbalahs. I don't know him very well, but I will tell you the following. He seems to take the psukim kipshuto, and in this pasuk, he's so estranged from the concept that he says vayishak in this pasuk does not mean what you think it means. It doesn't mean he literally kissed her. He got close to her by saying what he did, and it could be the physical act happened, but the point is that the spiritual act happened. The closeness that he wanted with her happened between them. What's up, Ralph?
Is there an age for what any of these portion that you're learning?
So the Ramban, we said in the beginning, the Ramban says she was 5.
No, but is that what they're...
The Rabbeinu Bechaya, sorry, the Rabbeinu Bechaya. But no. The Ben Ishkai says she might have been 20. It's possible she was older. Michael mentioned before, there is an opinion that says that they were both twins, that Rachel and Leah were twins, and then for sure they were older. The reason why the Rabbeinu Bechaya says she was 5 is because asking to work for 7 years for Rachel is ridiculous. Why would he have done it? It must be that he was waiting for her to be old enough to be married. She must have been 5, and now she's 12, and now she's able to be married. It is strange, because that still means you have an 84-year-old man marrying a 12-year-old girl. But either way, it makes somewhat sense because the woman back then did not get married older. If she was 20, she wouldn't have been that way. Rivka is also a bit of a kasha. If she was 3, 13, etc. 33 is the other opinion of the Medrash, which would go against all that. But 3 years old, 5 years old. Yeah, it would not be able to be. Maybe because of the future. It wouldn't be because of 5-year-old. At least we wouldn't think so, right? There's no way to be able to say it. Yeah, no. You're right. If it would be Yafas Toar, you could say that that's a reference to something spiritual, as it does before. Yafas Mare, that's hard. That's what we learn from the cows by Parshas Mikitz, the way the Ramban learns them. I don't know. I honestly don't know how it would be. Now, the Ramban, the Rabbeinu Ephraim, I'm sorry, says something crazy. He says, Vayishak Yaakov L'Rachel is the same gematria as Kimo Uz Maser L'Rachel Gimel Simanim. At that time, he gave her the simanim that they would later use when they got married 7 years later. Now, I think that's crazy that he gave it to her then when he first met her and not later on during the 7 years when he was there at that time. I don't understand how that's possibly so. But according to the Rabbeinu Ephraim, he says the conversation happened right now. That by Yishak Yaakov L'Rachel is he told her the sodos behind the neshika of what it means to kiss and those types of things. Those were the simanim that he gave her for later. That was what he gave over to her. And it wasn't literally a kiss. Now, I don't know if the Rabbeinu Ephraim is trying to say that it wasn't a kiss and that this took the place, or if he's saying there was a kiss and this was included in that. I don't know. But that's the idea behind the Rabbeinu Ephraim. Now, the Mayana Shel Torah, now we're going in a different direction. It says Yaakov Avinu cried. Why? Because he knew the world would consider this kiss to be what the fools think. What do the fools think? Well, like, he sees a rock and he sees a beautiful girl coming and he's like, oh, let me show her what I can do. He lifts up a really heavy rock, like puts it on the side, flexes his muscles a little bit, grabs the girl and kisses her. Like, I don't know, like a Popeye type of thing, right? I go with Popeye because I don't want to go with any other movie reference. So maybe, right, that's the idea of what he's trying to do. And because that's the pshat, says the Mayana Shel Torah, as if Chas V'Shalom to say he couldn't hold himself back from kissing her, he couldn't get over his taivas, Yaakov Avinu cried, then he knew that this act, which he knew was special, was something that everybody else would take to be something tummy and something disgusting, that people in the future would never consider it in the right possible fashion. That's an unbelievable Mayana Shel Torah. He says it mipi Shmua. I don't know where he heard it from. But that's what he says. The Mi'am Lo'ez says this pshat, and you might have heard this before. This kiss was done in public before the eyes of all the shepherds that were right there, right? The Ben Ishchai says that they weren't able to see what happened. That, remember, he just kissed the veil, but he didn't actually kiss her. But according to the Mi'am Lo'ez, he actually kissed her, and the people saw what was happening over here. This is something that should not have been done. We know that people are drawn to these types of things, and if they see a great man doing it, even if they didn't know who Yaakov was, eventually they'd know who Yaakov was, and if they see a great man doing it, everyone knows you're going to take it a step further. One guy will do this, but you'll take it a little bit further. Isaac, give me 1 second. And Sanhedrin have given people Makus Mardus. They get a makas, midrabanan, for doing something like this until they take upon themselves never to do it ever again. And the Rambam always quotes it. I mean, this is 500 years ago. He says, without a question, people would have been given lashes for doing what Yaakov Avinu did publicly. Sanhedrin would have done such a thing. Crazy, right? So it's not just Taliban. If Chazal say that you shouldn't even kiss your sister or your cousins, is the way that the it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch that way, in the Rambam as well. It could even apply to your grown-up daughter. Your grown-up daughter you might not be able to kiss according to Shulchan Aruch. It's a difficult subject. I remember somebody asked me, where's the hatter for me to kiss my sister? This is when I come home from Israel, my sister wants to hug me. Where's the hatter for me to hug my sister? So I'm like, all right, let's look it up together. We went to look it up together, and really, I was lost. So I was like, all right, let's call Roy first. Roy first is like, does he have to? I'm like, oh, this is not going to work out as well as I'd planned. Now, I don't have a sister. I'm okay with this, right? That works out really well. And that's out there. So Zimmermans are okay with something like this. But it is a difficult subject. Are you allowed to give a hug to your sister? Are you allowed to kiss your sister?
Using a concept we spoke to before, and I think anybody here who has a sister would be able to. There is no sexual attraction there. You love her because she's a close relative, like your mother or whatever it is.
Baruch Hashem. But I will tell you, this is my wife's line of business. And she has a very thriving business of people just in Chicago, and Jewish people and from people in Chicago. So unfortunately. It's small percentage. I don't want to go into percentages right now. I hear what you're saying, Dave. No question. I'm not going to get into it. You're right. But I am saying there are people who unfortunately have that attraction. And there are people that do.
Some of this stuff is actually this, in a way, instilling some weirdness that wasn't necessarily there naturally. Like, the conversations about whether you can call your kiss your sister, like, shouldn't that just be like a natural course of things, like,
You are right in that way. No, 100%. You're right. Meaning it'll depend on the person. And I think that's really what you're saying, right? Dependent on the person. That's 100% true. There's no question about that whatsoever. Yes, but what you're saying, Benjamin, would I matter for one person? You're asking me, the Shulchan Aruch says it's usher. Now, the question is, do we get around it?
There's Masa Tipshus. It doesn't say usher.
No, that's the Rambam. The wording of the Shulchan Aruch, you know what? Maybe somebody should look it up. Yeah, I'd have to look it up because I didn't bring down that Shulchan Aruch over here. My suggestion is the quote from the Rambam.
Yeah, I think the Shulchan Aruch pushed it down, though.
It's most likely that he does bring it down, but we have to look it up. We have to look it up. But regardless, it's not the easiest thing to do. Listen, he says it is. My suggestion I brought down from over here as well. When the shepherds saw this and saw Yaakovino kissing this girl, they became very angry and they said, this is a medrash that he's quoting, from the time that the mabul happened, we have stayed far away from women and made sure we wouldn't go near them and we wouldn't sin. Now this man comes to our area and does this in front of all of us. How dare he do this? I translated into English, but that's what it says. Yaakov recognized he had done something wrong and he cried in order to do tshuva. He felt horrible and his crying was out of tshuva for doing something wrong. Brian, what were you going
to
say?
According to the male noise, the thing is kavana was good. Just that the shepherds interpreted
the public.
Correct. Yes, correct.
Is there anybody who says that his kavana was wrong?
I have not seen a Rishon that says that his kavana was wrong or that he was followed by his taivas. Although, the Rishonim that we quoted in the very beginning of the Shir, right, the Chizkuni, the Radak, the Ibn Ezra, and the Sforno, they don't have any comments. So one could interpret that as to meaning that it was there. The one thing that I would go for is Chizkuni said that after he kissed her, he told her, I'm your father's sister's son, said she wouldn't be upset at him for kissing her. So apparently she may have been upset and then he explained himself afterwards. So that's an interesting call from the Chizkuni. I'm sorry? granted, I know, but the Chizkuni says that's what he ended up doing. He explained after. Ibn Ezra said he did explain himself first, right? But the Chizkuni said, no, he only explained himself afterward. Ozzy, you had a question before. What's up? That's a different opinion. I mean, according to the Ben Ishchai, right, she was wearing the veil and he kissed the veil, etc., right? But according to this opinion, he kissed her mamish. He kissed her mamish. And if he kissed her mamish, then the shepherds were wondering, what in the world is going on here? We've been so careful about this, and you come out of nowhere and you do this in front of us? Where they were so upset about that happening. I'm sorry?
He did marry her at the end.
Well, yeah, but they didn't know that at the time. It was 7 years later. Ami, yeah? Well, and married his sister first. Yeah, Ami.
Speaking about why he was able to do so, we're not seeing why he felt the need to do so.
No. In other words, where did this come from? The feeling that came up. So I'll tell you, it's one of the things that was bothering me the whole time when I was looking this up. Looking up as much as I could to be able to find this and to go through the Midrashim, et cetera, and go through. Really, the truth is, we see no absolute need for this. If we go with the idea that you can kiss Krovim, that doesn't explain why he did kiss the Krovim. If he was so impressed with what she was, why did he feel that was there? Kissing her on top of the head makes a lot of sense, the way the Ramban says it, right? The way somebody would kiss somebody that, you know, a relative or whatever it is, in such a way, the way you were saying it before, like you meet somebody, kissed on the hand out of kavod, something like that, that I get. But was Yaakov compelled to do so? We don't see that. And that is strange that we don't see it.
But maybe to address Ami's question is, from a strict textual analysis of the psukim here, we see that he kissed Rachel and Lavan kissed him. So maybe it was something about relative. You see an old relative you've never seen before or you haven't seen in a long time. That's what you did.
Esav and Yaakov also, even though we have the right undertones of what they were trying to do, but the kissing, happened. It is possible. Yeah, it is definitely possible. Just, I would understand it more between men and men as opposed to men and women. That still finds it strange. Again, we would have to go with the types of nations that were out there, and we don't know. We have no information.
No,
we just don't know.
It seems like that was a cultural thing. It's definitely older relative, that's what you did.
But by men and men. We only see it once by men and women, and it's by Yaakov and Rachel. We don't see it anywhere else.
The Torah goes through a long different
why?
Period.
I mean, one when do we ever see more of the natural course, one would be far less natural.
No. Not by somebody that you're just seeing for the first time. No. We do this even nowadays. It's rarer to find.
Wait, did Lavan kiss him with his thumb in his mouth and look for jewels?
Asub. Of course it's weird. There's no question about that. But I don't need to go with that. Either way, regardless, you see that happened. You don't see it by the others.
This is the only time that this is a man to a woman. But when in Tanakh do we ever see that an old, long-lost relative male saw another long-lost female relative?
What do you mean, Esav and Yaakov? We see it in another parsha.
Esav and Yaakov.
Male and female, we don't see it.
Right. So this is the only time we see it. You said we never...
That's not true. It's Moshe and Miriam, they didn't see each other for a long time.
Yeah, you could say it also by Yaakov and Leah. But Yaakov's whole family saw Esav. You don't see that. I mean, you don't see... But it's specifically not mentioned. I don't know. It'd be weird to say. Yeah.
He goes up to Rachel and he sees that we're going to have a long, happy life together and I'm not going to be buried with you, and he gets
emotional, etc.
Okay, that's a natural human feeling.
See, that's what the Tiferes Yonason was saying. Tiferes Yonason says that, and that was the crying that showed that it wasn't out of Taiva. But that doesn't mean that he should. That just means that he could. So what Ami's question is of why he did it, it's a good question. We don't have a real answer to that. Yeah.
The man Lois is saying that the only problem was the public aspect of it.
Yeah.
Not the Nishika itself.
No, not the Nishika itself.
Why is it not an issue?
Why is it not an issue?
Just
because nobody would have thought anything badly and Yaakov would have done it in the proper way. Yeah, our assumption is that Yaakov's intentions were noble in some way, shape, or form. That's the idea behind it. Now, I will tell you this Igra Dekala. Igra Dekala takes us a different direction and says that this actually goes the opposite way. It shows you the high level that Yaakov was on, that he considered the inyan of a zivug, this is the Igra Dekala, to be considered something that you should not be embarrassed of, as if you're putting on tefillin or wearing tzitzis. You take off your tefillin, you put on your tefillin, you give it a kiss. You pick up your tzitzis strings and you give it a kiss. And Yaakov Inu spent his whole life, 77 years of his life, I want everybody to remember this, Yaakov Inu Reishis Oni, he said about Reuven. Reuven is Reishis Oni, and Rashi tells us, the first Zera, first Tipas Zera that Yaakov Inu had in his life was by Reuven when he was 84. We are not talking about a person who Chas V'Shalom had Shechva Zera Levatola, did not have one drop that came from him for 84 years, and he was made on that. And the Torah is telling us such a thing of Reishis Oni, the first of my strength, so to speak. He spent the last 14 years sitting in a base medrash of Shem De'Aver, 63 years of his life learning under Avram Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu. To Yaakov and the level that he was on, he was no longer in the level. Again, this is not a person who got married young. He's 84. He's 77 at this moment when he sees Rachel Avinu for the first time, and he's willing to push it off that long. There is no way that he's sitting there and he's saying, I'm going to kiss the first woman that I see. There's no way. It just seems, and here's the real thing, it's antithetical to the nature of such a person who waited this long to get married for him to do this. It's totally antithetical, unless you say, says the Igra Dekala, unless you say that he considered Rachel Avinu as nothing more than a chetzah shel mitzvah. She was to him a piece of land. I know for the people out there, they're like, oh, how did he not have a great relationship with his wife? Stop it. Okay? He considered her to be a chetzes shel mitzvah. This was tefillin to him. This was a piece of tzitzis for him. It says the Igra Dekala. There was no taiva involved at all in the way he was looking at her because he looked at her the way an 84-year-old would look at any other chetzes shel mitzvah and thus kissed her on the head in that way. Yeah?
It doesn't change how it looks to other people.
Agreed. Agreed. But that shows the high level that he was on. That's the point. You're right. The Miyamloi still works. This measure still works. But it's just saying that's the idea. Think about this. He says to Lavan, after he finishes the 7 years of work, he says something that even the Kal Shebekalim would never say. The worst of the worst would never say this. He says, Hava es ishti. Bring my wife so that I can be together with her. Who in the world would say that to their father-in-law? Who would do that? You get there, you're standing up there, you're by the chuppah, and you say, Hava is ishti va'avo eleha. He's going to punch you in the face so hard. So hard. What are you thinking? Why would you do that? Because the Yaakov, even if he said it, why would the Torah tell us that he said it? That's crazy. That makes him sound terrible. And again, we're not dealing with a young, 21-year-old who's got taivas out of nowhere. This is the guy who's held himself back for 84 years. 84 years he's held himself back. And this is his issue. This is what he's going into. And the pshat is, says the Igra Dekala. Why? Because he had no issues with saying whatsoever. He was not mevayish at all by what he was doing. He said, I have a mitzvah to have children right now. Bring me my wife so that I can have children. That's what he was saying. It's such a brilliant Igra Dekala. Now, I understand why people might have an issue with this because they're feminists. That's possible. But those people are not here at this year. So good. You can go ahead. You can choke on your Coke. I'm telling you right now, that doesn't matter when it comes to this. The answer is that Yaakovina was willing and ready to do this. Because to him, this is an inning of a mitzvah. Nothing more than that. And in that sense, it's hard for us to understand with our romantic fantasies of what marriage should be all about. And agreed, in our world, that is what marriage should all be about. Rachel, it's okay. But regardless, right, in a way, this shows a great level that's out there. So you're asking me, Ami, how could he have done this? Maybe this is the answer. That he, mamish, considered her a piece of tefillin. A piece of tzitzis. He didn't think of her as anything more than that. I find that to be an awesome answer. The Kedusha Slavi says, Hafle Opella, he calls it. The Yaakov, the Ish Tum, who spent his whole life learning Torah, sitting with the Bechir Sheba Avos, the greatest of the Avos, the one who came back from Lavan. And what did he say? Im Lavan Garti Taryag Mitzvah Shamarti, according to Rashi. I kept all 613 mitzvahs. He comes back and he says, he should care about beauty and be attracted to Rachel because she was more beautiful than Leah was? How could it be? How could that be? And he says, and the kissing, etc. He answers, Yaakov defined the Midah of Tiferes. And we know that, right? There is Avram is Chesed, and Yitzchok is Gvura, and Yaakov Avinu is this Midah called Tiferes. Tiferes is finding the beauty in everything and pulling it out. Taking the beauty that you can find in anything you can have and allowing it to be here and be brought to you, etc. Any object that had beauty to it, Yaakov Avinu was able, even if it was covered with filth from the world and the physical world at large, Yaakov Avinu was able to pull it out and turn it into something special. He was able to shine it and bring it over to everybody else. He was able to take a spark of greatness that he saw in Rachel Aminu, and when he couldn't hold himself back, he's never seen a person like Rachel Aminu. He's been around Yitzchak. He's been around Abraham. He's even been around Esav. And Esav in his own right is a great man. Even Yishmael was a great man. He's seen greatness. He's seen his mother. And nonetheless, he's never seen anyone like Rachel. Never seen the Kedusha that was hidden within Rachel. And he wanted to be Mila, that spark. That was the tikkun. And the kiss, so to speak, was knowing that he was going to be able to bring out that beauty from such a person. Ke'ilu is looking past the outer beauty and seeing the crazy inner beauty that Rachel Imenu had. That was the idea behind it. So in other words, again, we're dealing with a great man. The Kedusha Slavi is around the same lines of the Igra Dekala. To be honest with you, I tried searching through other Hasidish Sfarim to try to find this idea to be brought out in some different way. I couldn't. I couldn't find it, and maybe I'm looking in the wrong place. I wasn't sure what to look for in that. But I get the idea so well. To me, this is what speaks the most about Yaakov. I'm obviously going around there. But now, regarding the halacha, would someone be allowed to do something like this, Tom? So the Ramah in Evan Ezer Simon Chaf Aleph Sifhei says, whenever someone gets close, now be very careful with this wording. It's going to sound like something that you never thought of before. Whenever someone gets close to a woman, l'shem shamayim, he's karov ela isha l'shem shamayim, and not out of love or lust, he is allowed to do so. And therefore, people are makel when it comes to many of the things that the Shulchan Aruch asers. The Ramah is the one that matters. Shulchan Aruch says, can't do this, can't do that, can't be anywhere near, etc., and everything else. But the Ramah is makel, because if you're doing it L'Shem Shemayim, that's where it comes from. Now, the Beis Shmuel in Yud Aleph says an example of this would be dancing with the Kala before her chassan. But Talmidei Chachamim should be Machmir. That's from the Beis Shmuel. Now, the Chelkis Mechulkik brings it as well and says that it depends on the minig of the town. If the minig is that they dance with the Kala, then that's what they can do. And if not, not. He brings, seems from those Meforshim, these Meforshim over here, that would be mutter to dance with her directly. But the Om Ani Choma, which is written by a Gadol and Bnei Brak, you should know, 3 days ago, I called up Rabbi first to find out what he wanted to say. He said, I have this Sefer. It's from a Gadol and Bnei Brak, Rav Mordechai Gross. He says, in 10 years, this will be the Gadol Ador. Mordechai Gross. He said, remember this name? But he said, I have this set of Sfarim. You're not going to find it anywhere. I got it special. He said, look it up. Find what you need from over there. He says, unbelievable stuff. He says, the Sefer Yafal Alev, and he brings a bunch of others, says, this is only referring to a handkerchief in between, not directly. That was what the minig was. It's a Sefer Kadum, right? And not even his staklus, that you're not supposed to look, which is, I guess, why the Hasidim that do this, right? It's still behind the mechitza. They dance with the kawa, but it's behind the mechitza itself. The Ramah didn't bring down Chassan and Kala at all. It's only brought down by the Beis Shmuel and the Chalkas Machoke. Yeah. I'm sorry? The Ramah doesn't bring down anything. He just says L'Shem Shemayim. So I'll tell you, L'Shem Shemayim is like this. The source of the idea of L'Shem Shemayim being mutter is from a Gemara, Kiddushim Pei Aleph. Rav Acha Bar Rava took his granddaughter into his lap, put his granddaughter in his lap, and was playing with her. Rav Chista asked him, how could you do that? How is it possible? To which he answered, he was doing it L'Shem Shemayim. Rashi answers, what that means is, I'm doing it to show her and her mother that I love this child. That's called L'Shem Shemayim, and that's there. So that doesn't mean like, I'm doing this for God. It means I'm doing this because I love my child, and that's good enough, and therefore it becomes mutter. So that sort of gets into what you said before about a sister, about why you're allowed to hug or kiss your sister, or why you're allowed to touch your sister, etc. In the same way, if you're doing it L'Shem Shemayim, then it's mutter. It's mutter. Now the kasha is, does that apply to anyone? Because that apply to someone who is not your relative. The Piskei Tshuva says, it depends on the person. And he brings examples. He goes throughout Shas. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Gidl sat outside the mikvah in Brachos Daf Chof, and some helped them do the tefillah correctly. Others, they allowed women to look at them as they were sitting outside of the mikvah itself. Rabbi Ami allowed women to sing for him outside of Caesar's palace. Many different Rabbanim, like Rabbi Yoshua, allowed themselves to talk privately to Roman matron women. Rav Ada Bar Ava danced with the kala on his shoulders. It seems strange, but it can only be matered, says the Piskei Tshuva, by Gedolei Yisrael. You want to do it L'Shem Shemayim? You better have L'Shem Shemayim involved. In other words, if you want to get this hetter down, you say, I'm doing this L'Shem Shemayim, you better be L'Shem Shemayim. And he says, specifically by Gedolei Yisrael, but that is brought down by the Piskei Tshuva. Yeah.
Rabbi Cohen gave a shir on this years ago, and yeah, I remember his conclusion, whatever, I don't want to say his conclusion or his quote, but he said, everyone is your Mashkiach. You know what you're thinking. Yeah. You know what you're...
100%. So if you're the person who, unfortunately, would have a taiva for their sister, and you're going to hug or kiss your sister, that's usher. If chas v'shalom chas, again, it would happen for your daughter, your mother, etc. If you have it, I don't wish this upon anybody, then it's scary. 100%. Yeah, that's what I said. Agreed. What you said, and I said to you, I said before, yeah, 100%, what you said was correct. That, yeah, it depends on the person. It is dependent in this way. On the other hand, he doesn't go into that. And I didn't want to go into it, but...
He doesn't go into that.
That's the obvious part. And I'm not going into the work relationships of shaking hands, etc., and what you do, etc., but obviously this comes into play as well. The Rambam, Sefer HaMitzvos number 353, does not bring these heterim at all. The Rambam asers everything. Everything for everyone. He holds any type of kirva is aser min ha-Torah. It's midio raisa, that you cannot come close, since the pasuk used the word lo sikrevu, legalos erva. You cannot come close to be megala erva. He holds that mamish. If anybody would do anything like this, you'd get malchus. If you would do this to a woman, even possibly a sister or a daughter, it might be malchus. The Ramban holds it's just an asmachta. It's not midio raisa, but it's midio rabbanan, and it's aser, but it's not there. And that machlokus is a very complex one. Based on, I said, there's a tremendous Megillas Esther on it. It's in Sefer HaMitzvos. There's a tremendous machlokus to go into, and whether it's still raisa or rabbanan. It could be they're looking at it from two vantage points. Are we starting off that it's aser, and then we're trying to matter, and we're asking, where is the side of heter? Everything's aser until we can matter this. Or is it everything's mutter and we only aster it at this point? What is that point? Where are we starting from? The Ramban seems to be saying it's mutter, but the Rabbanan aster it. Where do the Rabbanan aster? Rabbanan aster here. The Rambam's saying, no, everything's aster, but there are some heterim. The heterim are here. And that leads to certain chumras that you'll have from the Rambam and kulas according to the Ramban. Halachically, we hold like the Rambam. But again, this is the Ramah. The Ramah brings this down. The Pesach brings this down. So on the other hand, the Ramah does bring down at the end of that sif that we should never allow public displays of affection, even between a husband and wife, because of the hirhurim that other people will have from it. That's where it comes from. And he says, we learn this from Bava Basra Nun Chesemet Aleph, where Rabbana was being Metzayin the Marasa, going through the caves, showing where all the caves were. He got to the cave of Maras Machpela. Eliezer of Avram is outside. He asks Eliezer, can I go in? Eliezer says, Sarei Imenu is in, our Avram Avinu is in Sarei Imenu's lap, to which Rabbana balked at going inside, and Eliezer of Avram told him, don't worry, there's no Yetzer Hara in that world. From that Gemara, it seems that a normal couple, somebody that would not be dead, not Avram and Sarah, doing such a thing, would cause Hirhurim. Rabbana would not be able to go inside. So that would be Usher. From there, the Ramah learns that you cannot see public displays of affection. Now, what is considered a public display of affection? There are chumras all the way up into the kulas, holding hands, kissing somebody publicly, doing something like that. All of those may be in this category, and this is not the place for it. I don't want to go into all that because there's way too much to say. This is about 7 pages altogether. It goes through, you know, the everybody knows when you get married, right? There's a big machlokas. What do you do when you come down from the chuppah? Do you hold hands with the kala, right? Bring her into the yichud room. There are many chassidim that hold that lahalacha, you have to walk her. It's part of the kinyan process. Bringing her into the maisa yichud, into the yichud room, is that there? The Beis Shmuel argues. Beis Shmuel says it's absolutely usher because of this ramah, that you cannot hold the hand of your kala as you're walking down. He ma'asers it completely. But where does this come from? So all these things are there. Again, it's a little bit beyond the scope of us, and it's already late, so I'm going to end with over here, of what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do. But at the end of the day, as you said before, and I think you said it well, you're your own mashkiach when it comes to this. Is it mutter? No. Yaakovin was his own mashkiach and decided, this is what I can do. He knew what he was doing. And again, I like the Igor Dekala more than anything else, but we do have others. We have the Rishon, the Ramban, the Rabbeinu Bachaya. We had the Od Yosef Chai. We have the Orach Chaim and Tiferes Yonason. We have the other Tiferes Yonason. We have the Medrash Rabbah and the Ksav HaKabbalah. We have the Mayana Shel Torah and the Miyam Loez, right? We have the Igor Dekala and the Kedusha Slave. We have all those answers as to what Yaakovin was doing. But at the end of the day, he was his own mashkiach and he realized this is what he should do. And you have the same issue. It's the same thing by you. Can you do this? The answer is, it depends. It depends on who you are as a person, what you're thinking when you're going up to the woman, what you're saying when it goes through. And if you have those thoughts, if you're not an 84-year-old who's able to hold himself back, then it's a possibility that you wouldn't be able to do something like this. Shkoyach, guys. Have a great show.